Good to see everyone this morning that can be here. Sorry to hear that we have so much sickness and some aren't able to be with us. Who may abide in the house of the Lord? Good question. Is that up to you or me to answer that question? Based upon what I think someone should do or what you think someone should do, who should be able to abide in the house of the Lord? Now, we realize that, well, who's able to abide in your house? Anybody who wants to? Somebody just comes up, knocks on the door, and says, hey, I want to live in your house from now on. No, I don't think that would go over too good, would it? And yet, sometimes that's the way people treat God. I'm going to live however I want to and live with God. I don't think that's going to work. Well, Doug, that's just what you think. Well, no, it's not just what I think. Psalm 15, the first five verses. Lord, who is able to abide in your tabernacle? The question is asked, who may dwell in your holy hill? The question is asked, and the question is answered. He who walks uprightly is able to dwell in the house of the Lord. He who walks uprightly walks with his integrity, the New American Standard Version says. In other words, he knows what is right and he's going to do what is right. When people are looking, when people aren't looking, he's going to walk in his integrity. That means he's going to be complete, ethically sound, without blemish, blameless, and sincere. His heart, his attitude, his character are right as God looks at them. Not based upon what people might think is politically correct or incorrect, but what God says is right. There are no shady spots, nothing of insincerity or sham or hypocrisy. Shame, that should be shame, should be an E on the end of that. Shame or hypocrisy. So the question for each one of us this morning is, do you walk uprightly? Are you striving to walk uprightly? Or have you lowered the standard of what it takes to dwell in the house of the Lord? Are you walking with integrity with God in His Word? He who walks uprightly, he who works righteousness. And we had a long discussion on that in our adult Bible class this morning. The book of Psalms is in the Old Testament. And we were talking about the fact how that, well, didn't the people who lived according to the Mosaic law, weren't they living a righteous life? Yes, they were living a righteous life. We even talked about Zacharias and Elizabeth, how that they are held up as examples of those who live righteously. To live righteously means to live right in accordance to what God has told us to do. And in regards to our adult Bible class this morning, the point that we were making there is that there were Judaizing teachers who were saying, well, you need to keep the Mosaic law as well as the law of Christ to be found righteous before God. Well, that's not what the law of Christ says. You see, that's not what the law of Christ says. In fact, Romans chapter 10, I was trying to think of this verse this morning towards the close of class. Romans chapter 10, and we'll just start with verse 4. It says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved, for I bear them record that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge, for being ignorant of God's righteousness. So you can't be ignorant of God's righteousness and be found in the house of God. Being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, they have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God. Now, would you say that Zacharias and Elizabeth had submitted themselves to the righteousness of God in the Mosaic Law? Yes. Yes, they did. These Jews are Jews who have rejected Christ altogether. For Christ, here's the point, verse 4, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. Now, does that mean that righteousness stopped? No, but it means that when Christ came, that righteousness under the law, in accordance to the law, that stopped. Righteousness would continue in the law of Christ, or the law of faith, or however, you know, whichever one of those phrases you want to use. But to reject the righteousness of the gospel in favor of wanting to go back to the Mosaic Law or continue in the doctrines and the commandments of men, any perversion of the gospel, is to deny what Christ did on the cross. Nevertheless, those who abide in the house of God are those who work righteousness. And for you and me, that's in Christ and the law of faith. In Acts chapter 10 and verses 34 through 35, we find that Peter opened his mouth and said, I perceive that God shows no partiality. In every nation, whoever fears Him and works righteousness is accepted by Him. So, our whole purpose is to revere God, fear God, and keep His commandments. If I keep His commandments, what am I doing? I'm working righteousness. So it's the same thing. Do you revere God? Do you practice righteousness? Do you keep His commandments? That's the question. Those who dwell in the house of God are those who speak the truth in His heart. In Mark chapter 7 and verses 20 through 23, He said, what comes out of a man, that defiles a man. For from within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man. All of those things, not a single one of those things, comes from the heart of God. Not a single one of those things would God ever even consider doing. People say, why do we have so much trouble and pain and sin in the world? Didn't come from God. Didn't come from God. Well, where does it come from? It comes out of the heart of man. Well, how to get in man's heart? Well, God's not the only one supernatural being that's walking around who has an influence on this earth. Satan walks about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He tempts us with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. There is a desire, to some extent, to do these things. And so when we allow Him to put into our heart these things and to contemplate these things and to entertain the thought of doing these things, then our heart is not right. Our heart is not pure. And if we continue to dwell upon them, we'll find that we will be practicing these things. And that we will no longer be, we might say, well, I feel like I'm right. I'm mostly right. I'm a pretty good person. All these evil things come within and defile a man. So if you're thinking about those things, evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness, I would strongly encourage you to change your mind and stop thinking about those things and practicing those things. If you hope to abide in the house of the Lord, if you don't hope to do that, then do all of those things that you can while you're here, because in hell you won't be doing any of it. Those who dwell in the house of the Lord speak the truth in their heart, and he does not backbite with his tongue. Backbite is translated slander in the New American Standard translation. It is defined as a Hebrew word meaning to walk along, to travel on foot, to spy out. I mean, it's a literal translation. It is to put someone down, to slander their name, to belittle someone. You can look at Psalm 101 and verse 5, Romans chapter 1 and verse 30. Those who slander others will not abide in the house of the Lord. Those who abide in the house of the Lord do not engage in such things. Those who abide in the house of the Lord, nor do they evil to his neighbor. Nor does he take up a reproach against his friend. The word reproach is defined as to cast blame or scorn on someone, to disgrace or dishonor, to strip or make bare, to deprive one of his garments, to strip someone of their character or their good name. You might say, well, that's kind of what slander means, isn't it? Isn't that what it means to backbite? Yeah, that's what it means. And so what he's doing is he's just amplifying how terrible it is to do this, to put someone down to advance yourself. You know, we saw a lot of, I mean, that's basically a good bit of what you heard from both candidates in our recent presidential election. It was worse than, you always hear it, but it was worse than it had ever been. And everybody got sick of it. And that's good. I'm glad people got sick of it, because you should get sick of it. But if you're someone who thinks in order to make yourself look better before others, you have to take someone else and make them look worse in the eyes of others, then you're not going to abide in the house of the Lord. The ones who abide in the house of the Lord do not slander, do not speak evil of their neighbor, do not take up a reproach against his friend. You see that? Says those who abide in the house of the Lord are those in whose eyes a vile person is despised. Now you might say, well, I don't know anyone personally who is a vile person. That's good. You shouldn't. You shouldn't know anyone who is a vile person. That's what he's saying here. You don't associate with vile people. What about the music that you listen to? What about the movies you like to watch or the television shows that you're attracted to? What about these various forms of entertainment, the lyrics of the songs that you listen to? Yeah, and I can start listing off artists here. Probably get people upset. But you know, the lyrics of some of these songs are vile. And some of the artists even decry people who use such kind of language, and yet they're singing that language in their own lyrics. Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 11 through 12 says it this way, "Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them, for it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done of them by them in secret." I wish they were done in secret. I wish they were only done in secret. But they're not just done in secret anymore. They're out in the open for everybody to see and hear and listen to. I mean, not only do they sing about it, they practice it. I don't mind people seeing them practice such things. So should I buy that person's music? Should I listen to it on the radio or wherever it might be? Well, everybody's listening. You know, I've got to be tuned in to what everybody's listening to and what people are talking about. I don't want to look like a weirdo. Yeah, you do. Yeah, when it comes to sin, you want to look like a weirdo. You don't want to have any knowledge of it. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. In your eyes, a vile person is despised. He honors those who fear the Lord, who have a reverence for the Lord. In contrast to those who are vile, He honors those who revere God, who reverence God, who speak highly of God, who appreciate it when people say, "I believe in God, and I thank God, and I praise God." Thankful for such things. Psalm 119 and verse 63 says, "I am a companion of all who fear you and of those who keep your precepts." It keeps going back to that, doesn't it? Ecclesiastes 12:13. Fear God and keep His commandments. Keep His precepts. I am a companion of those who all who revere God and keep His commandments. Companion. I'm not a companion with vile people in any way, shape, or form. You know, and I guess that's apparent because there's a lot of vile people that don't want to associate with me either. Because if they did, they wouldn't be able to do the things they like to do without me saying something about it. And they don't want to hear me say something about it. So that's why they don't associate with me. That's their problem. I can't help that. It's about the choices that I make, though, and the choices that you make. You choose who your friends are going to be. You choose who your peers are going to be. You know, people talk about peer pressure. Well, you choose who your peers are. You choose who you look up to and who you want to be like, who you want to be accepted by. Don't let this political correctness kind of talk say, "Well, that's the group I need to be associated with." No, not if they're doing vile things. Be a companion of those who revere God and keep His commandments. He who swears to his own hurt and does not change. Who will abide in the house of the Lord? He who swears to his own hurt and does not change. In Numbers chapter 30 and verse 2, it says, "If a man makes a vow to the Lord or swears an oath to bind himself by some great agreement, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceeds out of his mouth." If you'll confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father who is in heaven. And Jesus wasn't talking just about a one-time confession there. He was talking about a lifelong profession. When we profess to be a follower of Christ, we made a vow to the Lord, didn't we? "I'm going to follow you from this day forward. I'm dead to my sins. I'm alive with Christ to live to the glory of Christ." We made a vow. And then we start lowering the standard of what it means to follow Christ. We say that we're following Christ and we're practicing sin. We're entertaining sinful thoughts and sinful passions. Then we've sworn to our own hurt. When we make a vow to the Lord, we need to keep that vow. Don't change. Stay true. Now you might say, well, everybody sins and nobody's perfect, and all that might be true, and all that, many times we use it as an excuse, but it might say, well, it's a reason too, and there's some validity to that. We say that we don't sin, we make him a liar. Well, what are we to do when we sin? Say, well, everybody sins. No. We need to repent and confess. And then he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin. Not that we can continue in our sin, but that we might be made pure and renewed to our vow or our oath to follow Christ. Just as it was read in our this morning before our Bible class. We walk with the Lord in the light. As he is, we are. That's what we're striving for. That standard of light. That standard of goodness. That standard of purity. He who does not put out his money at usury. In accordance to the Mosaic law, it says in Deuteronomy 23 and verses 19 through 20, you shall not charge interest to your brother. Interest on money or food or anything that is lent out at interest. To a foreigner, you may charge interest. But to your brother, you shall not charge interest. That the Lord your God may bless you in all which you set your hand in the land which you are entering to possess. You know, the New Testament says you're not supposed to make merchandise of one another. You know, don't look at your brothers and sisters in Christ as an opportunity for you to advance financially in a business venture or something to that extent. We are to treat one another as equals and not as opportunities for ourselves. We are to spend and be spent for one another, not to have others spend for us. Nor does he take a bribe against the innocent. So it all comes back to a purity of heart, doesn't it? As to how we consider one another. He who does these things shall never be moved. Who may abide in the house of the Lord? Well, this is an Old Testament way of referring to one who has God's favor and strength. You might say one who is saved, one who might be considered under the Mosaic law righteous. Now, could other things be added to this? Sure. But we've chosen this particular list because it bears so many characteristics of righteousness that we find in Christ too, doesn't it? In Christ, of course, in Galatians chapter 3 and verses 26 through 27, it says, you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Who may dwell in the house of the Lord? Yes, those who have all those characteristics that we notice there in Psalms. But you can have all of those characteristics, and if you haven't been baptized into Christ, it won't do you any good. You won't dwell in the house of the Lord until you're baptized into Christ. Have your sins washed away, rise to walk with him in newness of life. The Holy Spirit confirms that you are a child of God and sets his seal of ownership and identity upon you. Jesus said in Matthew 25 and verse 34, the king will say to those on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, and inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. This is where I intend for you to live with me in my glory. Who will be on the right hand? Those who have a desire to abide in the house of the Lord and realize that to abide in the house of the Lord, we must be in agreement with His holiness and His purity, and to be striving to be holy as He is holy and be pure as He is pure. And as we see our impurities and our unholiness, that we turn from it and we continue in the way that He has provided for us. Is that the way you want to go? Do you want to abide in the house of the Lord? Have you been baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins? If not, why not? Be baptized into Him, put Him on, live with Him, live for Him. If you're here today and you're a child of God and you need to make corrections in your life, James tells us to confess our faults to one another, pray for one another, that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. If you're subject to the invitation in any way this morning, we encourage you to come as we stand and sing this song.
Jesus bear the cross alone.